In the Spirit of Medicine, the essays of family practice doctor and Mille Lacs band member, Dr. Arnie Vainio.
I danced for the first time at the end of August, the year before George Earth died. George wanted me to dance ever since he came back into our lives in the past 10 years or so earlier. He introduced my mother and father back in 1957. My father owned the ill-fated Good Luck Tavern in Sturgeon, Minnesota. Business was booming, but my father wasn't a good businessman and would go on to commit suicide when I was just a few months shy of my 5th birthday. My mother was left with my sister and me and my 2 younger brothers. She was drinking sometime shortly after the suicide and left my older sister in charge. She was 6 or 7 at the time, and it wasn't long before we started playing with matches and burned our house to the ground. George was in his 20s at the time, and we lost track of him when his mother was hit by a car and killed as she was walking home one night. Her death was never investigated. His life changed when hers ended, and he was lost to us after that. George thought about us often over the decades, and my wife Ivy spotted him at a powwow, and we'd been family ever since. George was a traditional dancer, and his regalia came to him piece by piece over the years. He always said dancing is what saved him from a downward spiral that started when his mother died. He said when he danced, every step was a prayer for the healing of all Indian people from all tribes. We spent late nights with him telling me the things I need to know. He lived several hours away, and we stayed in touch by phone when we couldn't see each other. I called him when I had my feet in the ocean, or when I was listening to the night and when the fireflies first came out and flew through the trees with only me outside. We put our Sema out together at those times. George and I traveled to the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming so I could speak at a Healthy Heart conference. They asked George to do the opening prayer. We spent 4 days in the car together. We drove through the Black Hills and went to Chief Crazy Horse Monument. We stood under the vastness of the Milky Way, under the endless night sky somewhere in Wyoming. I never turned the radio on once during that trip. George told me stories and told me why the important things are important. He was supposed to travel with me to the Association of American Indian Physicians conference on the Tulalip Reservation north of Seattle right after his 80th birthday, but it didn't work out. I've been feeling a sense of urgency about getting those of us who need to go into medicine aimed in the right direction, and I think I've let some time pass when I could have done more. George was also feeling that urgency. He was having a hard time breathing, and he couldn't make it around the dance arena anymore. At the end of August that year, he passed his dance regalia to me at the Chichabining Traditional Powwow in Inger, Minnesota. It was bittersweet watching him take each piece separately from his van, and he held each piece reverently and for a long time before handing it to me. I wasn't even certain how to put all of it on, and the bells fell off my ankles during grand entry, and the leggings below my knees fell off a couple of dances after that. I had people come out and dance with me to welcome me, and I appreciate that more than they will ever know. Nakia Wilson made the beaded medallion I wore. This was a gift from her and totally out of the blue. I still take it out and marvel at the intricacy of the work she does. Herb and Patty Sam and their daughter Ariana took me in as part of their family, and Herb was teaching me some of her old songs. He had a hand drum made for me when he read the story, "It's the Only Thing I Have Left for You," about a dying veteran who taught me a powerful lesson. I still have a lot to learn. I don't feel I'm ready to sing, but I sing when I feel I need to. Herb has since died, and his teachings are inside me. George always told me seeing a doctor dancing would be healing for everyone, and I discovered that meant me as much as anyone else. Richard is a young grass dancer, and he worked hard to be in that arena. We bonded right away, and we danced side by side. He danced every dance, and he clearly feels the drumbeat somewhere deep inside. George watched us dancing, and he slowly crossed the grassy circle between the songs and sat at one of the drums. I danced next to Richard as George sang, and I could see him with the other singers, and I knew he was singing for his regalia, and he was singing for his mother. He was singing for all the past times he had been in the arena, and he was singing the prayers he used to dance. He was singing for Richard, and he was singing for me. I tried to listen for his voice as we made our way around the circle, but his voice blended in with the voices of the other singers, and it blended in with a slight breeze that blew through the trees and across the arena. It blended in with the sound of Richard and I laughing as we showed each other our dance moves. I will learn to dance for healing for our people, and I will learn to dance for our dying veterans, and for the veterans yet to come. I will dance for those contemplating suicide and those left behind, and for all the hurt and all the beauty out there. I will learn the old songs Herb taught me. When I sing them, George's voice will be a part of mine.
Dr. Arnie Vainio's essays on life, work, medicine, and spirit are published at Indians.com. And you can find the transcript of this story and more on our website at KUMD.org. In the Spirit of Medicine is produced by Dr. Arnie Vainio and Lisa Johnson, with music by Keith Sekola, and funded in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.